Hello, welcome to Pork Therapy. This is Mike, and this podcast is a continuation from podcast 32, where we are critiquing the 12 tips of healthy intimate relationships. Stephanie and I covered tips 1 through 5 last episode, so we're going to begin this episode with the last few seconds of that, and then get on to tip number 6, which is playfulness. So I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
They put it in such a corny way.
Yeah, their wording is just terrible.
Very cheesy.
All right, what's the next one?
Playfulness. Playfulness. It says, happy couples do work at their relationships and take them seriously, but not somberly. They play at making their partnership fun and healthy, and they understand the extremely high value of humor and laughter. I think that's pretty much right on.
It works for me, but I just have to wonder. There are people who have differing senses of humor.
Oh, absolutely.
And who enjoy humor less. Not that it's, you know, evil, just that they don't kid, they don't joke. They're very serious people. Mm-hmm. Does that mean they aren't happy in their relationships?
No, definitely not. Yeah, this article just in general is like putting people in these boxes that are just very like, well, if you're going to be one of these elite like 10% of happy couples, you have to be this way and you have to be that way. Because this is what our research has said. To mention that this article completely ignores any homosexual couples, and it completely ignores non-monogamous relationships. And it's very like traditional mainstream kind of gobbledygook. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem very welcoming to alternative lifestyles.
Now, in terms of making a relationship work, I do agree with this playfulness when their example is, when something goes wrong, happier couples respond with, wasn't that funny? Not with hysterics, anger, and anxiety. And, you know, it's kind of like spilt milk. If something goes wrong, fix it, get over it, and then laugh about it. If you're a humorous person, I mean, isn't that going to make you happier than being angry and punching the wall and breaking something over it and fighting about it?
It seems kind of obvious.
Yes, but all of these seem incredibly obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where their research is, if they have any, but indeed, correlation is not causation.
No, correlation is not causation.
That's probably the problem with all of these.
Yeah.
The next one is,
if you have too much of a sense of humor, like if you don't take anything they said in this tip, like, you know, happy couples tend to take their relationships seriously, but also have a grain of salt and have some humor. But if you don't take anything seriously and you're never willing to address serious issues, like, for instance, I had a relationship a while ago where the person basically refused to talk about anything serious. Like they wanted to have, I think they had expressed that they wanted to have like a pretty serious relationship with me. They wanted to be exclusive with me, but they did not want to discuss hard, serious issues. And anytime I brought up something substantial that I thought was a problem, they would either use humor to deflect it and not actually talk about it, or they would change the subject, or they just refused to talk about it. And it was like, I couldn't deal with it.
You know, but that's true. I agree with you. But I wonder also if this whole poll here, this whole 12-tip thing, just none of these tips really matter so long, you know, whether you're playful or not, or whether you're communicative or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad example. Or whether you anticipate or not. I wonder if it really matters, or if the only thing that matters is that the two people in the couple have the same value at the same.
Yeah, that probably is humor. Right. I
if,
think
like,
you're right, Mike.
You're saying if one person's always humorous and the other person's not, that's not going to work either way. And which one's wrong? Well, neither. They just don't match.
Yeah, that's true. I absolutely agree with you. But like, if you're using humor as a way to deflect serious issues, then that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next point, which is
communication.
Communication,
which is key,
in all
relationships.
Well, that was better than when it was actually our slogan. Oh, did we say our slogan? We fucking fail every time.
Our slogan would have been pretty appropriate this episode.
It would have, yeah. And that's relationship advice
from a liberty perspective.
Oh, that was just warmed my heart.
We didn't need to communicate to get
that done.
That's
right. And we didn't need a law telling us to do it at the same time. We didn't need the state to step in. Anyway,
so, number 8 is communication. And the article says, all studies show a direct association between the quality of couples' communication skills and the quality of their relationship.
Well, that's pretty hard to argue with, but making a gross generalization, like saying all studies show this, is something that is to be avoided, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine there's any studies done here.
They did, yeah, they searched every single article ever written, and they came to the conclusion that all studies show the same conclusion. Yeah.
Then they say something even more vague, the latest research studies.
Oh, this is bullshit, actually.
But
this is actually, I believe, one of the things that we really had an issue with. Okay.
So the latest research studies, which is vague enough,
right,
tell us that nonverbal...
They don't have any citations either.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Mike.
No.
I interrupted you.
Yeah.
Speaking of communication, okay, they say... All studies show a direct association between the quality of a couple's communication skills and the quality of their relationship. And the latest research studies tell us that nonverbal communication may be even more important than strictly verbal communication to intimate relationships. These couples certainly don't always sit around talking about their relationship, but there is an open agreement between them that when something needs to be said, it will.
Now, and I find a whole bunch of that. Not that I disagree, but I find a whole bunch of what they said or how they said it to be bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, how can nonverbal communication be more important than verbal communication? And let me just reword that. How can communication where the meaning is actually vague and up to interpretation be more important than saying exactly what you mean?
Yeah.
I cannot understand how that's possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then they say, these couples don't always sit around talking about the relationship, but there's an open agreement between them. Does that mean every one of their studied couples has an open agreement? They actually made an agreement and said, this is how it's going to be? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It's implicit, maybe.
Yeah, and implicit agreements, like we've said before, Mike, explicit agreements are always better than implicit.
Well, not apparently they're
to clarify.
Maybe they made a nonverbal agreement, because that's more important.
Yeah, they just telepathically looked in each other's eyes, and then they had a pact.
And they knew that if something needs to be said, it will, but
like
we're not going to talk about it until
right,
then.
Like,
right.
Yeah, the social contract that nobody signed and nobody's ever seen, the so-called the status claim that it exists anyway, but...
So here, the last sentence in the communication chapter says, happy couples spend even more time talking about the things they love than the problems in their relationship.
And that's just, that's a weird statement too, because if they, you know, if they, it seems...
Causation again.
Yeah, causation again. All right, if you have a happy relationship and there aren't that many problems, why would you spend a lot of time talking about your problems, right? Can we go back to that nonverbal communication? Because... Either way, like, the way that they worded it was terrible. Even if they did have some kind of research or some kind of reasoning to back up what they said, the way that they worded it was extremely poor. Maybe they were trying to tell us non-verbally that they were idiots, but the latest relationship studies tell us that non-verbal communication may be even more important than strictly verbal. Well, it seems that it's very hard to imagine non-verbal and verbal communication diverging from each other.
Right.
Like, if you're talking to someone, for instance... And you're having and you're expressing a problem to them, it's hard to imagine you being like directly communicative and calm and rational and saying exactly what you mean and communicating well and asking them if they understand while simultaneously crossing your arms and looking away from the person and not making eye contact
and frowning
and crying. Like, it just doesn't.
And at the same, and on the other side of that coin is you cannot have verbal communication without nonverbal communication as part of it. You
could if you wrote them an email, but why would you write an email to your love partner? Unless you were in a long-distance relationship or something.
I guess there's no nonverbal communication.
And email.
Yeah, those, like I've always said, are horrible forms of communication. I guess that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. If you talk on the phone, at the very least you have intonation.
Right.
If you're video chatting, you at least have facial expressions and gestures.
Right. I think the only form of strictly verbal is, like, a text.
Written.
Yeah, like, text message, email, chat, whatever. But...
All right.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Gets better and better.
Yeah.
Number 9, sharing. Oh, as we shared the googly worm. As an important part of their communication, these content... What? These content... Oh, I read it wrong. These content couples share the big, important issues such as dreams and fears. They often tell each other the stories of their lives, sharing their understanding of how their past influences the present. Sometimes the more courageous even share their fantasies with each other. Now, that statement right there is one that we had a big laugh over before, because if you have a partner and they're your...
That you like or love,
and they're your intimate partner, and you don't...
Why would you
you've
not,
never shared a fantasy with them?
Would you not want them to participate in your fantasy, or to help you achieve it, or to be happy when you achieve it? Why would you not share this?
Well, it's like, yeah, okay, I can see there are some people that have fantasies, especially sexual fantasies, that maybe they want to fantasize about but not actually enact because they're dangerous or they're impossible to realize or
whatever.
That
doesn't mean doing it. It means sharing it.
It means sharing it, right. But, you know, it's the way it's worded here. Sometimes the more courageous even share their fantasies with each other. It's like, ooh, it's a really badass, daring thing to tell your partner that you have a certain fantasy. Mm. Like, shouldn't every partnership be able to share their... I don't know. They make it sound like it's so uncommon and
yeah,
so unusual.
Uncommon.
And you have to be daring, quote-unquote, to share... you have to be courageous and daring to share your fantasies with your partner. It just seems like that should be part of every relationship.
What
do you think, Mike?
I mean, that I agree with you. Sharing's important. Sharing,
if you were with someone and you felt that you couldn't share your fantasies with that person...
But it's not just fantasies. Look at all the other things I mentioned. If you couldn't
share... Yeah, if you couldn't share your dreams and hopes and fears and the story of your life...
Or just... Yeah.
Who are you hiding your background from your partner? Like, this is...
You're lying or you don't trust them or something.
Yeah, or you just don't... I mean, okay.
Another causation issue here.
Yeah, it's strange. And I mean... Okay, one thing that this made me think of was that there are some people who say that if they're dating someone and the person asks how many people they've dated or had sex with or whatever in their past, they won't answer. And that, well, to a certain extent it's irrelevant, and so I can see why some people wouldn't want to share that particular fact. But if there are major things about your life, such as your goals in life, your dreams, your hopes, your fears, your fantasies that you're not sharing with your supposed intimate partner, that seems
how intimate are you?
Yeah, how intimate are you? How can you really know a person? I don't know. Anyway, rant over. All right, number 10 is, I bet you're glad these are almost over.
We
I
are.
Am. Parenting.
Okay, this one starts again with every study on the topic has clearly shown.
And this, I think this, before we start, also assumes that every monogamous heterosexual couple wants to have children, and that is not true.
Does it?
I don't know. It's so it sort of
I
seems
it's
like
just,
it's making that assumption.
I think it's,
well, let's read it.
Yeah, every study on the topic has clearly shown that there's a reduction in several important areas of marital satisfaction from the birth of the first child until the last child leaves home.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. So basically, they're saying once there's children, there's a lot more to
Well, children are a stress on a relationship.
There's a lot more to the relationship. There's supporting the children. There's raising more money. There's school for the children. There's children's lives and their stresses that introduce on your own. There's sharing your time with the children. There's all kinds of stuff that impact the parents' relationship with each other. That's the whole point of this section.
Is that children are a stress on the relationship,
yeah.
I think that's
and
pretty
it's certainly,
much a given.
Yeah.
Ironically, children are an ever-present danger to the health of your relationship. I don't think that's ironic at all. I think maybe some people don't realize that, but...
I don't think it's true for everyone. I think there's people, and they often couple up, and the purpose of them wanting to be with someone else is to make a family and to have one or five kids with them as well.
Yeah,
they want the whole family thing.
Yeah, some,
and that,
some
they'll
people
be happier.
Really do. And that's cool.
They might, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you're right. Maybe maybe every study has clearly shown that there is a bias towards heterosexual people who want kids.
Yes,
I don't know.
Every single study that's ever been done in the history of humankind. You know it's bullshit right there when they say something like that. But anyway, and then it says, ironically, children are an ever-present danger to the health of your relationship. This is a more true today than ever before due to the high number of single parents and blended families. What's a blended family? Is it like each parent has kids from a separate relationship and then they get together?
I have no idea. Apparently,
just,
every
the way
study
this is written is vague.
It.
Blended families, that almost sounds like racist or something. Sounds like, yeah, I have no idea what they're saying. Like, anyway, okay.
Oh, look at that. They do change. This.
Let's finish reading this.
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole thing?
the happiest, okay, this is more true today than ever before due to the high number of single parents and blended families, whatever the fuck that is, which add other potential problems to an already present difficulty. Vague, again. The happiest couples maintain a commitment that their children are not going to have a large negative impact on their love and romance. That's kind of funny because it's like you're expecting that when you have kids, they're going to have a negative impact on your love and romance.
Right,
but the key is to minimize that negative impact, or maybe, you know, maybe
I don't
the
think
key...
most people think about that or really think about having kids very much at all.
No, they probably don't. They don't. And a lot of kids are result of unplanned pregnancies.
Actually, that might be a problem in the lack of happiness in many relationships with kids, is that they didn't plan ahead, and so they didn't know what to expect or account for it ahead of time.
And they didn't plan ahead, exactly. And they... Okay, so they're saying to minimize the negative effect of the children on your love. God, that's sad. They do all they can to ensure that their partner doesn't feel second to the children or anything or anyone else. These parents... so they're talking about the happy couples that do all they can to ensure that their partner doesn't feel neglected. And these parents make sure that their children respect their privacy, which happens best when the parent also has respect for the child's privacy.
Okay, hang on. Okay. I don't want to read this whole thing. I'm sick of this topic already. But I want to comment on that last thing that you said. The last sentence was, happy couples do all they can to ensure that their partner doesn't often feel second to the children. So what about their relationship with the children then?
Yeah, right. Are they neglecting the children?
Yeah, does that mean their relationship with the children won't be happy? I mean,
if you're shoving your kids in daycare because you want
to,
you know.
If you have multiple relationships and they don't all have to be the same kind or the same, you know, intensity, you're going to have to do a balancing act.
A relationship with a lover and a relationship as a parent to a child.
Right. Or, you know, someone else.
Yeah, you're going to have to balance those somehow.
Right.
Right.
All right. Done.
I mean, I think if you have children and you're in a partnership like that, it is a balancing act because you constantly have to feel, and it can lead to parents feeling like they're neglecting themselves, right?
Because they're giving everything to the kid and their partner.
To please the kid and the partner, right. And so that's another trap you have to watch out for. I don't know. My solution is to not have children. I think that's one of the biggest reasons. But anyway.
The next one is equality. Number 11 is equality. This one is just ridiculously worded. Yeah. They even mention the 1950s in here. All right, so this one I think we should...
Fun. This is going to be awesome.
This is the one... Yeah, this is the... Is this the one where... No, it's conflict resolution that's even worse. The next tip.
They just keep getting worse and worse as we go through the article. But
so let's read both of these. So modern studies have universally demonstrated... that the only healthy long-term relationships
are between
people who feel and are equal. Couples who are attempting to have a 1950s type of relationship, in which the man makes most of the big decisions and the woman gets to pick the color of the kitchen towels, are not working in the long term. Regardless of one's opinion of the women's movement, the revolution has already occurred. Those who are attempting to stop or turn back the clock are ultimately meeting with dismal failure. The extremes of relationship power imbalances in which physical and mental abuse occurs are the least successful today. So, I don't know why they're picking on gender. How about two people should be equal?
Yeah, exactly. Done. Yeah, and what about couples who voluntarily have a power dynamic in the relationship?
Sure.
Or what about, you know, what if there is a heterosexual couple and the woman wants to, like, her biggest want in that relationship is to be a homemaker and to, like, stay home and have kids and make the decisions that about running the household, and she doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
And the man wants to.
I think the key that you said is voluntary.
Voluntary, right.
I mean, if it's some different structure than they mentioned in that equality chapter or any of these tips, as long as it's voluntary, they're going to be happy because they chose it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or if they chose it and they realize they made a mistake, then they'll choose something else. But
right. Yeah, it's hard to imagine. I mean, if you imagine a relationship where it's involuntarily like that, where the woman is, like, pretty much forced to stay home and barefoot and pregnant, and she doesn't want to. It's hard to imagine any relationship like that even claiming to be healthy, right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of ridiculous. And also, like, I don't know, never mind. I just lost my train of thought because it's so bad. Yeah, and again, this ignores, this only focuses on heterosexual couples. It assumes that all relationships model traditional heterosexual marriage, and that is not true.
Yeah.
It's just...
All of these tips make assumptions. None of these are really bad things. Like, 11 is equality. If they didn't put a paragraph describing equality and just said equality, I'd probably agree. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
If my own parenting is too vague.
It's when they open
sharing
their mouths
is important.
That we get.
Right. Communication is important. Playfulness is important. Anticipation could be fun.
Yeah.
But when they start describing shit, this they go all awry.
Yeah, it's like they said too much.
And the last tip is conflict resolution. Recent research, again, boy, there's a lot of recent research.
Oh, and it all comes to the same conclusion every single time.
Tells us that couples who deal with disagreements by withdrawing, ignoring their partner's feelings, and escalating the intensity of the arguments are heading towards a failed relationship unless healthier styles of conflict resolution are developed. Now, the rest of this paragraph, very short, mm-hmm. is just silly to me. It's
oh,
so
this
one-sided.
Is the best part of the whole article.
It is vital that the woman send clear, mostly nonverbal signals about her desires for distance or closeness, and it is equally important that the man pay close attention to her signals, interpret them correctly, and respond as quickly as possible if the relationship is to run smoothly.
Yeah, that is such bullshit on so many different levels.
So basically, the woman should
shut her mouth and communicate non-verbally, and the man should be a mind reader and interpret her non-verbal communication.
And the man shouldn't communicate his desires at all.
Yes.
And the woman has no responsibility to the man's desires.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
So ridiculous. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Now, if they had just said conflict resolution, you might think, in no description, you might think, yeah, you know what's important to resolve conflicts?
Yeah.
Done!
Yeah, right. Well, let's say the pork therapy way that we would describe, that we would pontificate about conflict resolution. I think that if you're going to be happy in a relationship, you can communicate clearly and directly with one another mm-hmm. about a problem. And instead of attacking the other person's character or getting into a big emotional fight, you can decide on a way to resolve that problem. And then after that argument, you can put that solution into action by following through on what you said you're going to do. And then after that, after it's resolved, you can not bring it up again and not dwell on it and harp on it. And I think that's pretty much conflict resolution, right?
Although following the...
There's a problem, you address it, and then it's over.
Yeah, but following the most recent studies, we should do half of that procedure and then go fuck and then come back and do the other half of that procedure.
Yes, and then after we fuck, I should give you a wink and a nod, and you should interpret that correctly.
And I should react quickly to go buy you a steak or whatever I think it is you want.
Yes, because you're reading my mind, didn't you know?
All right.
Yeah, just the best note to end on. And the author's...
It's like someone said, you know, here's some obvious common sense things that people could use to be happy, and then I'm gonna
twist them
into some misogynistic,
like put them in a heteronormative box and
and give my opinion slant on all of them.
Yeah.
Instead, I mean this could
claim that every single study justifies what I think about these issues. Right.
Yeah. The only thing I'll give credit for this article or this author is that he says these things are generally common sense.
Yes.
But then he blows his own head off again by saying, but the research in this field indicates that, blah, 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 blah.
And once again, common sense is not so common. Yeah, what
research in this field indicates common sense is not so common.
Yeah.
What research has done that?
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. But it made for an entertaining podcast. And if you're interested, we have to give credit where credit's due, I guess. We found this article as an email forward, but... apparently, the authors of this article give the Psych Central from Dr. John Grohl and Internet Mental Health on Dr. Hatfield's UC Human Sexuality site as resources. I don't know if those are the authors of this article because the authors aren't named, but probably because they're probably tooting their own horn, right? And they say the best psychology sites with valuable information and links to hundreds of other sites are these. And then they probably give their own websites. So overall,
all recent studies show that these are the best websites for this topic.
Oh yeah, didn't you know that all recent studies show that Pork Therapy is the best podcast on the web? Every study that's ever been published.
And you know what? As far as I know, every study that ever will be.
Yes, that's right. And that is a good note to end on, because I'm sure our listeners are fucking sick of hearing this this vomit spewed on the airwaves.
We'll get back to your questions
our opinions. You can't tell because you can't see me, but I'm sending you nonverbal communication signals that I want a little bit more distance. And men, read my mind. you can find us on the web at porktherapy.com.
And send us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes, do it right now because we know you have a question on your mind and we don't want you to forget about it. We want you to send us in our questions because we love that. And don't forget, ladies, if you're good at sending out nonverbal communication signals, Mike is... you know, he's capable of a lot of different things, but he's not a mind reader, so you're going to have to email.
You're going to have to use verbal communication.
You're going to have to email him and send him some verbal communication at mike@porktherapy.com. Right, Mike?
What will they say in this communication?
Well, of course, they'll ask you out on a date. And you know what?
Know what?
You're sending them some nonverbal signals that you're free tomorrow night. I saw
it. Just because it's quieter doesn't mean it's not verbal.
I guess that's true, Mike. Thank you for being the voice of reason. The lone voice of reason on this podcast. Oh, and you can go to Facebook.porktherapy.com.
And Twitter.porktherapy.com.
Although we don't know why you would bother. Apparently you... You found us already.
Thanks for listening to this very long episode.
Yeah, somehow you hung in there, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.